Tuesday morning, Las Vegas, trying to learn how to throw a knuckleball right here on 91.5 KUNV Las Vegas. This is LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk. I'm Ray Brewer alongside Taylor Byrne, Case Kiefer. Taylor's actually got my baseball. I was telling the boys earlier that I want to be R.A. Dickey, a near 40-year-old big league pitcher, throwing the 40-mile-per-hour knuckle right up at the dish, and I'm mad that you took my ball because now I can't master it.
We can't trust you with this ball during the show. It's going to end up going flying around somewhere.
There'll be some. Listen, I'm going to make some noise from either my cell phone ringing or a cough or something before the show's over, but it will not be learning how to throw a knuckleball. And if the Vegas fans, our fans, don't know, I'm about 12 years older than Taylor and Case. And they're very athletic. They play basketball. They've been in softball leagues. They run. They do all kinds of stuff.
I like the idea of Case just going out for a jog.
No, but you guys do run. You walk. Case walks to work. Taylor, you run a lot. You were a former cross-country standout.
No, I was terrible.
But you were on the team. You understand how it works. And me, I'm just old and fat, and I'm out of shape, and I feel like if we had like a knuckleball throwing contest, I'd be elite.
You might, and I've got long fingers, so it should give me some type of advantage. I can't make a knuckle work at all.
Well, it takes years of practice.
I don't think I'd be very good at it, but I may have pitched. I've almost for sure pitched in a competitive baseball game more recently than you two, I'm guessing, unless Taylor played baseball longer than I thought.
No. I was never a pitcher.
You played high school baseball?
Until I quit after my freshman year.
And that was your most recent experience?
But well, still more recent than you guys. Yeah. Pitching, yeah.
Yeah, they just stuck me in right field.
I mean, I played right field as well.
Yeah, of course.
But I never made – when I tried out for Chaparral – we had like 120 kids. It was the year before Green Valley opened. And for JV tryouts, I didn't even make the baseball field for tryouts. I tried out on like the football field. And the next year Green Valley opened, they won like six straight titles. We won the title my freshman year, but I had no chance. So, yeah.
Well, I was actually a catcher, but I was kind of like the emergency pitcher. Like I think we had like three starters, and I was like the fourth in case we had a bunch of games in a day. And I remember – the last time I started, maybe one of the guys was hurt or whatever, and I had a great like first three innings. I think I gave up like one hit, and then the fourth inning I gave up like seven runs because I didn't really have any velocity. I could.
Was this JV or varsity?
Like this is like a freshman game, I think.
Oh, okay.
We don't. Yeah. Maybe JV.
Did you throw a curve?
The credentials are not going to be all that impressive. Let's get that out there.
A cutter? Or
I mean, in my head, I might have thought I had a curveball. I don't think it was really curving that much.
Seven runs in the inning. It didn't curve very much.
I don't know if it was seven either, but at least five. I remember it was a disaster, like the fourth inning, and that was the last time I pitched.
Now, c'est la vie.
Let's go out to the parking lot right now, see who's still got it.
I'm telling you right now, I would not have the fastest pitch. Nor could I throw curveball, but I think knuckleball straight like spins, mine would be the straightest. I guarantee.
That just makes it sound like I would throw the best meatball. Like that's
no, a knuckleball's tough to hit.
Well, not it a just, straight one.
Well, I'm working on getting it to fall. I mean, I'm like I said, it's a work in progress. LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk every Tuesday morning, 7 a.m. right here on 91.5 KUNV. We talk what we cover. We cover a lot of Rebels. We cover a lot of UFC. And today we're going to talk Rebels and we're going to talk UFC. We'll start with the Rebels, Taylor. Oh, I touched the ball.
Why did I put it down on the table? I just got to hold on to this.
But a pretty active offseason, another week of news. Last week we talked about Mike Mosier transferring to Washington. This week we talk about a player deciding to stay. Carlos Lopez Sosa will be back as a fifth-year senior.
Yeah, he's going to be the only senior on the team. Not really a surprise move back at Anthony Bennett's press conference. Carlos was there, so I just asked him a little bit, you know, what he was leaning and you know, back then, both he and the coaches were saying it seemed very likely that he was going to stick around. And so he took some time to decide on it. He is going to come back. So presuming that Mike does follow through with his transfer plans, now he can't do anything officially until he actually graduates. And I'm pretty sure he needs some summer courses for that as well. So his departure won't be official until then. But with the Lopez Sosa news, that basically finishes up, you know, next year's roster. They've got all the scholarships filled and all that. Now, who's going to be coaching them is a different matter, because like you said, there's been a lot of stuff. I don't even feel like it's the off season yet. There's been like news out of the basketball team pretty much every week since they got knocked out. And this most recent one, Justin Hudson, the associate head coach, who, you know, whenever you watch games, seem more like the third coach in line behind Dave and assistant Heath Schroyer, is going to be heading back to San Diego State. That is expected to be officially announced this week. It is, you know, all but a done deal at this point. He's going back to take the job that he left from, which, it doesn't matter the individual circumstances, that doesn't look good. That doesn't look good at all from the outside. When you see somebody came for a better title and presumably, you know, just kind of a different position, a chance to move up, everybody knows, and Hudson's going to be a head coach somewhere. Nearly got the Fullerton job this year, and I think after he missed out on that, it was just a question of, you know, where is he going to be spending the next year until he can try and throw his hat in the ring for another job. Tony Bland left Hudson had essentially like groomed Bland, and Bland replaced him. Now he's the associate head coach for Enfield at USC, and looks like Hudson's going back.
Did you say for Enfield?
Andy Enfield.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like infield. I get it
now.
No,
we're done with
it. It went over my head, but yeah.
Ian, not Ian.
Yeah, is he gonna coach the shortstop? Here's the thing. Too quick. I got a question that I'm gonna ask you later because it's a little off topic, but Tony Bland is gonna make $300,000 at USC. That's Pac-10 money. That's not a good Pac-10 school, and yet all of UNLV's assistants combined don't even make $300,000. Just an observation. So what? You guys are saying, right?
Well, yeah. Are you surprised by that?
I'm a little surprised. Yeah.
Just because I don't follow it that closely, I would have guessed I would have guessed all the assistants combined would have made.
Well, I think it's pretty close to that.
I knew one of them didn't make as much as that, but I would have thought altogether.
I think, would have. If I'm not mistaken, I know that, well, you're right. UNLV's three. I think
all together they.
Because I know Justin was making like 120. Stacy was probably at 150, right? Didn't they give him a little more to get him back? I thought he was making 150.
We have to look. I mean, combine the three of them, I'm sure it's more than Tony's.
Okay, it's public record, so we could figure it out.
But Tony certainly is more because, like I said, I mean, it's the associate job, so it's like the top assistant, and it's USC. You know, and it's, you know, a USC program trying to make a big splash because it's the same time that UCLA is bringing in new staff and all that stuff. So I'm not surprised that the money's good or that Tony Bland left for it. I mean, he's got a great reputation as kind of an up and comer recruiter. And
really
relates
coach. Well with kids.
Yeah, yeah. And there, you know, there's a meme on Twitter, Tony Blanding, which is just having your feet up on a desk. It's gone around for a while now. But, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, a good move for him. San Diego State, I think it's a good move for them, getting Hudson back in the fold. And I think it's an okay thing for Hudson. It doesn't, like I said, for UNLV, from that perspective, it doesn't look good.
Okay, it doesn't look good. From the outside looking in, Justin Hudson, associate head coach, up-and-coming guy in the industry, good recruiter. It looks awful. UNLV, a team that is his – underachieved, is losing one of its key pieces. But I'm saying maybe it's okay that he's gone because he clashed with one of the other coaches. And moving forward, if those two can't get on the same page and become at least – I don't want to say you don't got to be boys to get along in this industry, but all the teams that survive in advance, they like each other and they play for each other – And that means a lot. And one of the big problems last year with UNLV, Taylor and Case, was they really didn't like each other. Mm-hmm. And if the coaches can't get along, the players aren't going to get along. And I'm not saying Justin was the problem, and I'm not saying Heath is the problem or whomever is the problem, but at least now people are going to get along.
Well, that's not guaranteed, but you're right. And I think if the assistants aren't even, you know, working entirely as a unit like you would want the team to, then how can you expect that out of the players at the same time? But it, I mean, it's no guarantee that you bring in somebody else and all of a sudden everybody's great together.
I'm rarely right, and when you say Ray, you're right, I think, Casey, you need to say, I agree, Taylor, Ray was right.
Sure.
Just there on this go. Show only, not in the newsroom, but I like when you guys agree with me. Can I ask a totally off-topic question
Let's
here?
Let's hear it.
Okay. So Mosier is going to transfer to Washington.
Most likely Washington.
Most likely Washington.
Nothing can be official until he graduates.
Okay. And we talked about this last week. We broke it down. No big deal. It's a past topic on LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk. So
I still think he's better than Roscoe Smith, though.
Either way, we could debate that every week until the season starts, and then you'll say, Ray Brewer, you're right, and Taylor Byrne will say, Casey, you're right, Ray is right. But what I'm saying is, is he still on Scholly in the summer? Are we paying UNLV for him to go to school in the summer?
Mosier, are you talking about? Yeah.
Okay. And that doesn't hurt for another year for another player? That was my off. Okay. That was my off-the-topic question.
It's in the fall when that, like, takes hold.
Okay.
Now, that is an interesting point as far as – because Mosier should still be on scholarship through his summer classes, and then you've got the guys coming in. Not everybody's coming in at the same time. And that's basically probably how that will work itself out.
Because I know last summer to go to Montreal, they had to take at least one course.
Mm-hmm.
So Mike technically is getting a little extra scholarship money.
Okay.
Indirectly. Kind of. But I mean, it's me nitpicking, but I could see where some programs, and I don't know basketball as well as you guys could do, but they'd be, if somebody's going to try to graduate the transfer, maybe they're like, we're not going to help you out. Pay for it yourself. That would be Bush League, right?
It's pretty bad PR.
Okay. And it helps UNLV having a player graduate in their program.
Yeah. And, you need that for the APR. And that's something like Anthony Bennett has been up in Canada basically ever since he announced his decision. But he's taken his classes online. And so that, you know, most of them anyway. He does have to return for some finals tests and things like that. But and that was always like their plan for his second semester, basically, was to plan for him to be able to do it online.
See, I'm a little – okay, I totally understand.
Does it make you uneasy? Is that what I'm getting from that?
Yeah. I mean, it's got to make Dave uneasy too that – I mean, why does he have –
That's the deal, though.
Yeah.
And that's when you're dealing with kids of that nature, and that's what it is. You know the timing of getting ready for the NBA draft and all that type of stuff. That second semester just isn't – like, it doesn't work. And the schools can't take the APR hit, the academic progress rate, because that could hurt them as far as future scholarships and things like that, where if a player – doesn't fulfill his graduate requirement, or I mean just the academic requirements for that year. And so this is just the way around it when you're dealing with essentially professionals, you know. And this isn't new or anything. It's newer to UNLV.
Yeah, very new to UNLV.
But that's, you know, I took a couple online classes in college. I don't know if Case you did. Like, it's,
I didn't, but I probably should have.
You know, it's
when I went to college, we didn't even have the internet, so
of course. Yeah, but I could see it, you know, making some people uncomfortable, but it's also, you know, that's the way it is.
I mean, how long does an online class take?
It depends. There are some that run like concurrently with a regular semester. There are some that are more condensed.
But you're at your own pace to do it. I mean, if you're a fast worker.
It completely depends. There are some where you are at your own pace. If they give you what they think is the equivalent of 3.5 months of work and you do it in 2 weeks, then you're done in 2 weeks. But there's others where there's like weekly discussions and weekly assignments and things like that. It just, you know, it varies. Depends on where you're taking it from, what the specific class is, that, you know, that teacher's plan. All the same way that, you know, in-person classes vary as far as the workload and all that, so do online classes. Does that answer it?
Well, now I feel up to date.
Good. I'm glad I could help with that.
Yeah, LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk. Right here on 91.5, The Source, KUNV Las Vegas, and the season that never ends, UNLV basketball. And I guess when there's a lot that's broken or that needs to be fixed or that's not falling in your way, change is in the wind and change is happening. But Wednesday, National Signing Day, and UNLV expected to get the start of the spring. It's not just one day. It's a whole period.
Mm-hmm.
But UNLV expected to get two letters of intent. I think from two players that could help out, maybe right away, but definitely in the future.
The Smiths. Yes. This will be the official signing for DeVille Smith and Kendall Smith, you know, as long as everything goes to plan, because you could always have a kid change his mind or something. But DeVille Smith is the JUCO who's going to come in and I think have a great chance at being the starting point guard in the opening game. And then Kendall Smith, more of a combo for his AAU team. He was a distributor for his high school team. He was a scorer, just kind of changing it to what that particular group of players needed. And I think that's one of the reasons that UNLV really likes him, is that they think he can fill those multiple roles. He's young, you know, athletic, but going to need to add some size. DeVille Smith is a burner, like really fast kid. And if you're trying to play more up-tempo, which Dave says he is, that, you know, but of course he says that he's trying to play more up-tempo for the last 2 years. That's kind of why I think everybody's just waiting to see if that style of play actually comes to fruition. But he's a guy who could give you a good chance to run like that, and he also comes in with a little bit of experience at the D1 and then at the JUCO level. And him and Kendrick, Jalon Kendrick, who can be a one or a three, kind of the same deal. They've played in D1, they've played at JUCO. You know, there's, you know, so some people say if a kid bounces around like that, you just stay away. Others like the
give
like
him a hug experience. And see if you can get him into the second day of the tournament.
can we get Morrissey and Johnny Marr on Gucci Row next year?
Wait, why is
the Smiths?
Okay, all right.
I was hoping you guys.
See, I was
that.
Gonna ask.
I thought maybe even see, Brewer I, would get that. So the '80s.
But Brewer, you don't know who Brewer doesn't know who Johnny Marr is.
Way
there's
over
no me. Way.
Morrissey though.
See, to me, now Johnny Marr is Modest Mouse.
That's true, but
I was gonna ask Taylor if the two new Smiths were gonna be as good as Robert and son Sam Smith.
Oh, what about Reggie Smith? We could have, there's, and Roscoe Smith, they could have had Smiths.
UNLV's, we're going to have three Smiths to try to figure out.
Next year, yeah. They're
wonder how the uniforms are going
to
look.
That's a whole lot of extra words I have to use in a story, because now I've got to use their first names on all references. Yes. I'm going to let them know about that.
How are the jerseys going to look? Do you think there's going to be R. Smith?
Yeah. Well, the thing, too, with I think Kendall may have done the what is now a UNLV trend of adding like a second last name. I've only seen it on Twitter. I think it may be like Kendall Clay Smith. I'm like holding off on, you know, making that my norm until he tells me or Dave tells me. So that may take care of that one. So then you've just got D Smith and R Smith. But I don't know. It could end up being K Smith, D Smith, R Smith.
Okay. Well,
and if Reggie was still around, then you'd have to have RE period and RO period.
That'd be awesome.
And who knows if they're going to bring in more Smiths.
That'd be awesome.
Get a starting five of Smiths.
Yes. And then Daquan Cook is still the third point guard.
He's in the mix with everybody else, but I wouldn't be surprised if Daquan redshirts this next year. I mean, there's a crowded backcourt, and I think you probably like the prospects of even a guy like Kendall Smith coming in ahead of Daquan Cook. Right now, I do anyway.
I would love that.
Yes, hide him on the bench.
Yes, LasVegasSun.com sports talk, talking all things Las Vegas sports. Kiefer is traveling to San Jose this week for a UFC card. My guy, Frank Mir, needs a win against the big strike force champion.
Daniel Cormier.
Former Olympic wrestling star.
Yeah,
Olympian. Does he have a chance? I can't believe he's that big of an underdog.
Does Mir have a chance?
Yeah.
A few months ago, I would have said no, but now I think at least he has a chance. I'm definitely not picking him to win the fight because Daniel Cormier is
one of the rising stars in the heavyweight.
I mean, yeah, one of the rising stars in the whole sport. I mean, the guy has a crazy skill set, but I mean, I've heard every single person picking Daniel Cormier. Like you said, Frank Mir, as we know well in Las Vegas, he's got to be the most famous fighter. It's actually from Las Vegas, grew up in Las Vegas, never lived anywhere else. To be a plus 400 underdog as a former champion. I mean, maybe you got to think about that. He's still one of the best submission guys in the sport. You saw what he did to Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira a year and a half ago. He broke the guy's arm in half. So maybe he can catch Cormier on the ground if he can get it, if Cormier takes him down like he should as a wrestler. But I don't give him much of a chance. Hate to tell you because I know he's your guy.
I actually on LasVegasSun.com, you, me, and a few others, we picked the fights, and I'm up by about four games on everybody.
I think you're up two, but two. Still, it's good.
Four games on you. But for me, that's great.
We've had four events on the year, and you've had the best record in two of them.
Which is odd, considering my history. But I was actually thinking about going with Frank. I don't know why. I won't say I have a feeling, but I didn't realize he was that big of an underdog until you sent the picks out today. And I guess, is he at risk of possibly losing his employment with the UFC? Could we see him fighting on that new league?
Would he really do that?
I tend to think no. I think maybe if he was done with the UFC, he might just retire. I mean, he's what?
That's what I would think.
35, 36 now. He has made millions.
He doesn't need to.
He's got his own gym. I think he's fine. Right? But yeah, he doesn't need to fight anywhere else. He'd be fine. There's a big but to this, though. He's not getting cut if he loses to Daniel Cormier. I mean, the guy, he's coming off a fight against Junior Dos Santos for the title. He lost in a title fight. Now he's fighting a guy who, in the new UFC rankings, is, I believe, the number three heavyweight in the world without ever even fighting in the UFC. I wouldn't even argue to have him higher than that.
You would argue to have him higher than that?
I wouldn't argue against having him higher than that. I'm trying to remember what I ranked.
That's this new guy?
Lesnar is out. Yeah, Daniel Cormier from Strikeforce. I mean, right now, Cain Velasquez, who's Cormier's teammate, which makes everything very interesting, is number one, of course, because he beat Junior Dos Santos. Then you've got Dos Santos still at number two, and Cormier number three. To me, maybe that's not how the rankings shape out, but to me...
That's pretty the hierarchy.
Clear. That's pretty clear. Yeah, it's definitely the hierarchy.
So is this setting up for a great Cormier-Vasquez fight down the road?
Velasquez. Yeah. Well, that's the real interesting part because, I mean, okay, here, let me change a little bit what I said. Fabricio Werdum is actually two.
Who I've never heard of.
Yeah, by I have
Okay.
Go
ahead.
The current heavyweight rankings, the champion is the champion. So it's just challenger rankings. It's Junior Dos Santos one, Werdum two, Cormier three. I actually have Cormier ahead of Werdum in my rankings and my ballot.
Is Frank even in the top 10?
Frank is number six. Okay. I think that's about where I have him too. But okay, so if Cormier wins, he probably has earned a shot at Velasquez, but they have always said they won't fight. I mean, they're really good buddies. Cormier was Velasquez's one of his wrestling coaches, right? I think when he was in college. And
wait, Cormier was Kane's coach?
Yeah, he helped him out.
So he's older. He's older.
Yeah, he's new to MMA because he dedicated like 8 years to Olympic wrestling. He went to two Olympics, so he's in like his 30s. But he's an older guy. But then when Cormier turned around and decided he wanted to do MMA, Velasquez kind of mentored him and helped him learn MMA. So Cormier says they will not fight. He's also not that big is the good thing. Cormier is like 230, I think, when the heavyweight limit's 265. So he says he wants to cut to 205 and fight John Jones.
Ooh.
So if he wins this, that might be more in line for him. We'll have to see how it works
out.
That's
a tough cut. And people that go down in weight like that after having – you have to transform your whole body, and it's a quicker game at the next level in boxing and MMA. And I just I don't think he'd have – and John Jones is just so freaky athletic. I don't think he'd have a chance.
With the wrestling background, though, at least he's used to adapting at different weights. You would think, anyway. You know, maybe he only wrestled like the same weight.
Yeah, his whole career. The other thing I'd say is, and I don't disagree with Brewer. I think he makes a good point that there's some concerns.
You were right,
there.
Brewer.
I disagree in that Cormier would have no chance because Cormier would be the best wrestler Jones has ever faced, and I think Cormier would have a chance. But the other thing why I think he possibly could cut down is if you look at this guy, he's not like a Cain Velasquez or an Alistair Overeem where he's just like. I mean, look like a godly figure, just ripped. There's not an ounce of fat on his body, you know, like all muscle. I mean, the guy
Are
looks
Are you calling
like,
him fat?
I'm not calling him fat. He's in great shape. He's a great athlete, but he's not like
I'm going to tell him you said he
it's,
was
It's
fat.
Not impossible. I mean, look at a pic. If you guys look at a picture of the guy and compare him to some of the other guys that are 230 in the UFC, you're going to say, wow, this guy could actually probably get down to 205 and it wouldn't be that big of a deal. And he'll say the same thing.
Now you're going to try and get me to call him fat.
He'll say the same thing. I mean, it's just how it is.
Have you seen him fight in person before?
I have. I don't think I've actually seen him fight in person.
Neither have I, Case.
No, I mean, look, this is the guy at, and no, we can't see. This is the guy at like 230. You're telling me he can't get the 205? Oh, there's no way
that guy's beating John Jones, nor is he beating Frank on Saturday.
All right, well, you pick Frank Mir. That guy's as fat as I am.
I'll just, it's not, he didn't look like, an athletic look. He looks like an elite athlete the way that Angel Cabrera looks like an elite golfer.
Exactly. So he can get to 205.
He looks like more, who's the kid that went to Cimarron? The fighter.
Roy Nelson.
He doesn't look like
Roy Nelson. He's 30 pounds less than Roy Nelson.
Well, they got the same build.
And let me tell you, the guy is 11-0. Two fights ago, he knocked out Bigfoot Silva, who's fighting for the UFC title in next month, knocked him out in like 2 minutes. So, I mean, he's got that wrestling background, which is better than anyone in MMA, and he also has the rest of his games come around. I mean, the guy's not a joke, is all I'm telling you. There's two guys he'd be an underdog against right now in his division, and that's Junior Dos Santos and Cain Velasquez.
So is basically the possibilities if he beats Mir, it's either Dos Santos fight or drop down for Jones or somebody at that weight class?
Yeah, it's tough to say what'll happen with Dos Santos because he has another fight right now, so it'd kind of be to see what happens. I guess the two big options would be either drop down and fight Jones or fight one of those really top guys at heavyweight. And, I mean, maybe him and Cain could kind of come to an agreement. I think that if it's for a title, they may fight someday. But they're not going to fight just because, oh, hey, we're the UFC. We need a co-main event.
Yeah.
Let's throw these two guys that have worked together for 10 years.
I can't wait. So one of them, because like the...
They're going to hate each other.
Oh, something's going to happen. Like there's going to be something said or somebody's going to do something to the other. And it's just going to... Because when really good friends like that, as soon as it goes bad, it isn't just like... not talking to each other, it gets ugly.
Yeah, well, see, that's exactly what happened with, I'm sure you guys kind of remember, even though you don't follow it as closely as I do, with John Jones and Rashad Evans, who trained together. They had a big falling out. But the one thing I see different about this situation is that, like, John Jones and Rashad Evans are both really, now you're going to say I'm insulting the guy again, but they're both, like, really confident on the borderline of cocky, will say anything, or Rashad especially. These two guys are a lot more like laid back, and I don't know. They haven't really been in any feuds. They don't really talk a lot of trash, which the other two guys do. So it would be a little bit more out of character if that happened, I guess.
Yeah. So you're taking him over Mir?
I'm definitely taking him over Mir. I like that I showed Brewer his picture, and now he thinks he has no chance.
Ray, you gonna go put in that ticket +400?
I'm working on it right now.
Yeah, I got Daniel Cormier.
Well, I think I'm going to take Frank and roll the dice.
That seems like an okay like underdog bet.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit too high. I'd probably make Cormier like a little bit over 3-1 favorite. Instead, he's a 5-1 favorite. So if I had to bet it, I would take Mir.
There you go, Ray. Again, you're right again.
This is
a new record for you.
I think you guys are just doing it to patronize me, though. So LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk, and we'll talk to everybody next Tuesday. Bye.